never take for granted the importance of children and young people in your midst. So many churches you could speak at, and the age is 80 plus, and that's it. It's a real blessing to have, even when they're up running around, making noise, and you're trying to, you know, it's a blessing. So we're just going to pray for these guys today, because we're believing that actually they're being brought up as young warriors, aren't we? Yeah, the church of today, leaders of tomorrow, and this is their training grounds. So Lord, we want to speak just a release of your spirit in that place. Father, would you just equip and anoint the leaders? Lord, would you equip and anoint the kids, Lord? Lord, will they know your voice? Will they have a heart to love you? Lord, will they see greater things than we could ever hope or imagine? Raise them up, Lord. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. That's right. All the guys are like, oh, yes, well, we'll have to wait, don't we? It's always a weird one, if I'm honest, Mother's Day. And it can be a bit of a minefield, because you can talk about Mother's Day, and for some people, it's a great day. They can have a great time, you know, celebrating being a mother and all that. And actually, there's some people who actually find it really, really hard. And it's like any holiday you celebrate, Valentine's Day or Christmas. Actually, for some people, it can bring up not necessarily happy memories. It can bring up the opposite, and it can be a really hard time. But I want to challenge every woman here, actually, that you can be a spiritual mother. And actually, the world is crying out for a spiritual mother. So before I get into a little bit of that, which is not what I'm talking about, we're going to watch a short video, and we're going to pray for the quality of the projector to be increased as we watch this video. And then I'll explain a little bit. It's good, isn't it? Yeah? I'll be completely honest. I completely forgot about Mother's Day. Not in that way. I've still got presents, and I knew it was coming, and I've got prepared. But when I was preparing for this morning, I was like, I think Hannah sent me an email with that attachment saying, what about this? And I was like, oh yeah, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. It's this Sunday. But God remembers. And I just want to pick up on a couple of things that video said, actually. However this day makes you feel, you know, for some great, for some not so great, the world is crying out for more spiritual fathers and mothers, okay? The world is desperately crying out for those figures. So whether you're a mum, as in you've given birth, and you have, or in any of those different forms, actually, let a challenge be today. How can you mother someone today and tomorrow and the next day? How can you encourage? How can you bandage up at times? How can you caution or warn? How can you praise or champion someone? People are longing for mother figures. Okay, and I want to kind of challenge every woman here, actually. Whatever your circumstance, whatever's going on, you can be a spiritual mother. You can be that figure. And the world needs it. So encouragement really to kind of step up, really, and see that in your day-to-day, really. But, happy Mother's Day. But like I said, God doesn't forget. So even though I was a little bit unprepared for Mother's Day, isn't it lovely that what you were speaking on has a lot to do about mothers? Isn't that lovely? He had my back. Isn't that nice? And one of the main things we're looking at today is actually Jesus and the wedding of Cana. And the strange relationship, or the kind of the conversation that goes on between Mary and Jesus. And if you've never really delved into this particular story, it's weird. And we're going to get into it. We're going to have some fun with it. But this is kind of like Jesus kind of bursting onto the scene. We've had like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of build up getting ready for Jesus. And then we've had the baptism. We've had the wilderness. And then we kind of have this kind of knife edge moment of where he's like, he's gathered a few disciples, maybe like four possibly at this stage. And then it's his first miracle. It's kind of like the cat's out of the bag now after this kind of story. And this is the kind of moment where people get a bit like, oh my goodness, Jesus is a bit different to everyone else. And it's a really interesting story. And how many of you know the story? Just kind of show of hands. Okay. It's in like, I believe it's only in one gospel. It's in John. And it's a brief encounter. The rest don't mention it. And yeah, it's one of those weird ones, but we're going to go into it because it's Mother's Day. And you'll see the importance. Essentially, what you've got is Mary and Jesus and family have been invited to this wedding. And it's not like a normal wedding like we would have. These weddings tend to go on a bit. Not in the sense of everyone's like, oh, it's going on a bit. We want to get home. As in, it would have been fun and, like, you know, festivities and getting drunk and drinking wine for weeks sometimes. Days, sometimes weeks. And when these guys arrive, there's a bit of a catastrophe that happens. They've run out of wine. There's no more wine. Now, have any of you hosted anything and it gone a bit downhill fast? You know, you're thinking, all right, I'm planning for this. Something happens and, you know, it just all goes out the window and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this couldn't get any worse. Anyone been there? Yeah, I've been there. We were actually at a party. One of Phoebe's friends, believe it or not, she has them at her age. One of Phoebe's friends was turning one last week. And her parents had planned a garden party. And if you've picked up on any of the weather the last week, it's been a bit hit and miss. And the day of the actual party, I don't want to say torrential rain. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But we'll say persistent. It wasn't it was persistent rain. And we were driving there. It's all right. I swapped my day off that week, if anyone's wondering how I got there. And we were driving there and we're thinking, how stressed are the parents at this moment? Like, they're planning, they've got a lot of people coming, and they're planning a garden party, and it's raining hard, and they haven't really set up the house in preparation for what's to come. And I'm thinking, man, the mum's going to be stressing out like anything. The dad's probably going to be okay, he's going to find it quite funny, but the mum's going to be really stressing out. We arrive on scene, and we said we'd get there a little bit early to help setting up. And we see the mum, and we're like, are you all right? And she's actually okay. And then we see the dads. Are you all right? And he's been kind of assigned setting up a gazebo in the garden and doing a barbecue in persistent rain. So it's a bit stressful, but we made fun of it. We seemed to kind of made the best of a bad situation, and it seemed to actually go particularly well. Not to be too stereotypical, there was three guys at this party. All three of us were huddled under this marquee in the rain around the barbecue trying to keep warm while everyone else was inside. But we actually made a good situation out of it. But picture this scene in this wedding, okay? This isn't just we've planned a garden party and it's begun to rain. It's we've got hundreds and hundreds of guests and we've got no wine. We've got nothing to give them. And Mary seems to come onto the scene, and this is the first thing that's a bit strange. She's a guest. But she seems to kind of take a bit of charge here. She kind of comes in and she kind of goes, oh, there's a problem, right? She seems to kind of rolls up her sleeves and gets stuck in, which is always weird when I think about Mary. Because I don't know if you've ever spent a lot of time thinking about Mary and the kind of woman she was, because there's not too much written about her. But I've always thought of Mary as a bit of a, oh, I'm Mary. I pray all the time and I'm very quiet and I always wear blue. And, you know, and I kind of have this picture about Mary, but if you generally think about what she went through as a teenager, the absolute ridicule she would have gone through of, it would have looked like sleeping outside and going through all that ridicule and still showing her face in public, right? Because she's showing up to events and she would have been quite a woman, if I'm honest. She would have been the kind of woman you don't want to mess with. The more I get to understand about Mary, especially the mother of Almighty God, you know, Jesus, don't, you know, I don't know, I think Jesus would have been quite an easy child. You kind of get that as it comes through. But you never know. The rest of the brothers, however, might not have been. But Mary seems to be that kind of woman. Take charge. You don't mess with Mary. And this is what she seems to do. She seems to step in and say, you've run out of wine. Why? Jesus, now's your time, son. Do something. Which is a weird kind of thing. And we seem to see this really weird response from Jesus. He basically says, no, it's not my time. Now, I've always read that and gone, what? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get how Jesus stepping in that circumstance is going to change particularly, you know, anything or become weird. But Jesus is like, no, it's not my time. What does Mary do? So the Son of God has just told you no. And she's like, don't you speak back to your mother. is essentially what's going on there. She's like, I'm not going to take what you just said. And then she gets these servants and she says, come over here, do what he tells you to do. It's a really weird kind of change of events. She's gone, okay, I'm taking charge. Jesus, you're up. She completely delegates it all to Jesus. Jesus then says, nope, it's not my time. I'm not going to do anything, Mum. It's not me. And she goes, okay, servants, don't listen to what he just said. You're going to do everything he's about to tell you to do. And it's really interesting how it kind of, I think we over-spiritualize sometimes. I think it's just a mum and a son having that moment of him going, Mum, please, it's not my time. And she going, yeah, don't show me up in public, Jesus. You're going to do what I tell you to do. I think sometimes we over-spiritualize stuff. And I think it's just mother and son having a bit of a backwards and forwards kind of moment. I'm guessing it is a deeper level, but they have some fun with it. And this is Jesus' kind of saving moment, where he kind of bursts onto the scene, and this is his kind of time to shine. And his kind of, what's the word? His kind of, his plan, he basically says to his servants, right, you see those jugs, these dirty jugs, go and fill them up with water, plain water, and you're going to go and give that out to the guests. And these servants are standing there kind of going, what? Serious? You want me to take all this dirty water and you want me to go and give it out to the guests? And they just seem to just go along with it. Okay. Now, I get servants. They're probably used to saying yes a lot of the time. If I was a servant in that moment, I probably would have thought, nah, that's it. I'm out of a job. If I'm going to go and do that, that's it. It's going to be worst case scenario. Everything's going to go even further wrong. I can't do it. But they actually say, do you know what? Let's go for it. And they take these dirty jugs and they go and give a bit to the host of the party. And he tries a little bit and he goes, oh, it's the best yet. It's the best yet, basically. And they give this wine out and that they kind of saves the day. Here's the interesting thing. Because the whole way up in Jesus' life, everything he's done has always meant something else, right? So the baptism, it meant something. When the dove descended on him, it meant something else. And then when he went through and he came into the wilderness, it meant something else. And it was referring to the Israelites in the wilderness. He comes to this moment and it means something else. It isn't just dirty jugs and it isn't just water. You see, the issue is the Jewish people, they got a little bit stuck in the ritual. You see, these jugs were used for washing, hand and feet washing, and it was a ritual they used to use. And you see, the Jewish people, they got stuck in a ritual, desperately trying to find some level of identity in the people of God, but they had got stuck in the ritual. Now we teach, and I teach, actually, out of this place of your identity in Christ comes obedience. Comes, you want to do what he says to do because you love him, and it comes out of identity. They had got it wrong. They got it the wrong way around. They were trying to find their identity as the people of God, and they got stuck in the ritual. And the beautiful thing is, Jesus comes right into their level, takes the ritual where they got stuck, and kind of was like, you're along the right lines, but it was meant for so much more. And he takes this ritual, the washing and water, and he makes something so much more satisfying, so much more glorious out of it. Any of you ever made wine? Anyone out there ever made wine? One, two? Yeah? I make wine. I quite like drinking it, and then I realise it's quite expensive. So I thought, actually, I could make it probably a bit cheaper. And it's quite fun, actually. But if you haven't made wine, you probably wouldn't understand that in wine, there's a lot of water. Have you noticed? That actually, when you make wine, when I do it, I get this kit through the post, and you put it in this big thing, and you have to add loads and loads of water to it. But the wine's there, and it transforms, and you put all the yeast and all this stuff into it. But it's loads and loads of water in it. And what I love is that Jesus uses the old. He never dismisses it. He uses the old and what he came from, where people are at, and he uses that, and there's elements of that in the new. Are you following me at this moment? Jesus takes the old, and he uses elements of that. He doesn't just say, oh, no, scrap it all. He uses that, and he builds on it, and he makes something which is so much more satisfying. So much more that someone actually says, it's the best yet. They actually say, you know, most people serve the best wine at the beginning and the rubbish wine at the end because, you know, everyone's drunk and they can't tell the difference. But you have saved the best till last. I want to declare something to you this morning, that your best is yet to come. I've had a few conversations with people, and you get to a certain age sometimes, and you kind of think, yeah, you know, I did this in life, and I remember back when, with the glory days, this outpouring, the Toronto here, so many different conversations where they say, oh, we used to do this in church. We used to have this prayer meeting 3 years ago, and God did amazing things from it. Let me declare to you, your best is still to come. And there seems to be a momentum we've built up in the last month or two here. And I want to declare that the best is coming. We're building up for something. And this isn't going to be a scrapping, a complete destruction of the old. I think Jesus wants to take that and say, actually, there was such goodness in that. But Jesus wants to take that and build on it to something so much more satisfying, so much more glorious. If you've ever had a glass of dirty, if I'm sitting down and someone says, would you like a glass of dirty water or a glass of the best red wine that you're ever going to have? I know which one I'm going to go for every time. Your best is yet to come. And for some of you, I really feel you need to hear that. That you, maybe you feel like you've got to an age or you've made some mistakes in the past or something's happened and you know, you just think, oh, that's it. It's been, it's done. And I'm just going to live out the rest of my days. I'll live out the rest of my days and it'll be fine. Your best is yet to come. I want to declare that over this church. Your best is yet to come. Sometimes it looks different to the old. But God wants to build on that. All this heritage, all the history, he wants to build on that. And that's how you honour the past. You don't just say, oh, rubbish. And go, you honour the past by taking it and building on it and making something so much more satisfying. Okay? So if you forget all else today, remember that. Your best is yet to come. Have faith, have courage, your best is yet to come. Okay, we need to make a bit of ground now in the life of Jesus. I'm going somewhere this morning. And this is him. He's burst out onto the scene. This is it. His rubber's hit the road. He's had all this build-up, decades and centuries of build-up, and now all of a sudden, Jesus bursts out onto the scene, and people begin to talk about him. And he's building team, he's building relationships, and he's building his disciples, but he's doing miracles. Miracles are flying left, right, and center. And one of the first things he does is he goes to his hometown in Nazareth, and he goes into the synagogue. And he's a rabbi, so he walks in, and they pass him a scroll, and it's the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it up, and he finds a place, and he quotes from Isaiah, but this is what he says. Can I have the, I believe I gave you the, is it in Luke? I haven't written it down here. And this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and receiving of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can we have the next verse as well? Is that going to be tricky? No? Okay, I'll paraphrase. He finishes that, he goes and he sits down. He then says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. This has been fulfilled in your hearing. And once he's read this out, all eyes have now turned on him, and he says, now, all of that has just been fulfilled in your hearing. This is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. This goes completely against the religious system. Completely against the religious system. And what I love when I read the early years of Jesus' ministry, well, there's not many, there's only three, but the early part of the ministry is that the down and outs, the misfits, the people that don't really kind of belong anywhere, they love Jesus. He's gathering thousands upon thousands in crowds. But yet when it comes to the religious, the people who seem to be closest to God, who seem to be doing that, what he brings is an absolute, it just completely contradicts what they're talking about. They absolutely hate him for it. And in this moment, they actually try and kill him. They turn against him, they try and kill him, and he escapes. And from this moment on, he goes from town to town, village to village. And what is the what's the biggest message he preaches? Does anyone know? The one thing he's always on about, Jesus. Kingdom of God. That's the most famous thing he talks about. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or near. He goes about preaching the kingdom. He goes about doing miracles. But this is the difference between him and me. I talk a lot about the kingdom. I preach a lot about the kingdom. I talk the talk. But nowhere near as much as Jesus do I walk the walk. Anyone the same? Yeah? I think we're all the same. Actually, if you read Jesus, and encourage me, the early disciples as well, they would walk into a town, they would basically say, bring me your sick. Bring me all your sick, and they'd bring them the sick. They would heal the sick, and then all of a sudden, all attention is on that, and they say, right, you've just been healed because the good news, because of Jesus, because of the way, and then all of a sudden, they've got such a way in. I don't walk the walk, nowhere near as much as I should. Now, we've talked about the kingdom of God a lot. We talk about this a lot. We talk about covenant and the kingdom. We've been doing it for months. But I'd love to see more. Anyone else? I'd love to see more. I'd love to see more walking than just talking. So this morning, that's kind of where I want to go, really. I want to do a bit of walking. We've been talking about that anyway, but I want to do a bit of walking with you. And what I want to do is I want to do literally 5, maybe 10 minutes of a really practical healing teaching. And then we're going to pray for some people. Is that all right? Okay. It's all right. I'll walk through you with you. I'll hold your hand. There's nothing to worry about. He's a good father. He's never going to do anything you're not prepared, like you're not happy to withstand. He's not going to, you know, go against your will or anything like that. You can be at ease with God. Has anyone got a water bottle I can borrow? Can I drop it? Now, I'm expecting it not to be dropped, but actually, just in case it breaks. Can someone chuck me a toy from the back? Right. My DNA year, which is my first year of training, I had a guy come in called Mark Marks. Really interesting name. Don't know why I said it twice, but generally was his name, Mark Marks. And he had a ministry called Healing on the Streets. And he came and did a session with us, very practical healing teaching, and to get us ready, because the next session, we were going to go out into the city and pray for the sick. Now, this was completely alien to me at this stage, right? I was like, you know, I've prayed for like a few people, like maybe within a church or like in a house, maybe some family members, but never have I walked into like a street and just gone, you, I want to pray for you. God is going to meet with you. I was like, you can't do that. You get arrested, surely. He was an amazing man. And he taught really basic, and this is why I liked him so much, really basic healing using a water bottle. Now, I've got a blue sheep. And almost squeaks as well. That's quite nice. But this will be so profound. I mean, you're going to take this to the grave, all of you. I can really tell. And he said this. You've all been anointed and gifted. Okay? The moment you become a believer, okay, you become a son or a daughter of the King. Right? So in that moment, you have the power under God to heal the sick. Amen? Okay. Now, I know we get caught up with that, oh, it's not me, it's God. I know we get caught up in that and we say, oh, no, it's nothing to do with me. It's all about God. I completely agree with that. However, the Bible says, you go and heal the sick. Doesn't it? You go and heal the sick. And man, I've been there so many times, I've gone, oh, I'm right. Oh, Lord, would you just, I can't go and pray for that person. I'm just going to retreat to my house and pray that God does it. And he's like, you're meant to be my hands and feet, right? You're meant to be the ones healing the sick. Yes, you can't do it by yourself. It's under my power. But you are meant to heal the sick. This is where the water bottle comes in. He said, so, what you're confronted with is a supernatural versus the natural, right? And he says, now, if I held a water bottle or a blue sheep, under God, I believe that I can actually command this sheep. So when I let go of it, it's not going to drop to the ground. It's actually going to shoot to the ceiling. Okay? Supernatural. That actually gravity is not going to work on this sheep, and that it's going to fly to the ceiling. Now, as he's talking, everyone's going to go, this guy is ridiculous. What's he talking about? A bottle. But the more he began to speak, the more he believes, actually, it's possible. Isn't it? I mean, God can do anything he likes. So if he can bring someone back from the grave, can he make this sheep, when I let go, instead of fall to the ground, shoot to the ceiling? Yeah? Does anyone believe that when I let go of the sheep, it's going to fly to the ceiling? But isn't that the problem? Oh, I didn't even hit it! No! Okay. But isn't that the problem? I said, how many of you believe God can? We all said yes. And I said, now how many of you believe it will? Someone said there's always hope. Someone said it's possible. The rest of you didn't say anything. And right in that very moment, it's why so many people, and not to put pull the guilt cards, okay, but that is why so many people are waiting to be touched by God. It's not God's fault. And I'm speaking as much to myself, because so many times he said, go and pray for that person. I've gone, what was that? Someone over here? And I've missed the opportunity. Or I've gone, yeah, I don't know if, yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen, Lord. I'm too busy with this, or I'm not really feeling it today, or this, that, and I've come up with every excuse. But in that very moment, we lose the battle. Do you know, for so many of us, we never even get to the point of praying. We never even get to that. We never ever enter into the possibility that actually God can use me to heal the sick. Because we the battle's in here, isn't it? Satan throws the doubt card in straight away. As soon as you begin to build up to that moment, you walk past someone in a wheelchair or anything, right? There's that moment you think, oh, I could pray for this person. First card in from Satan, the doubt card. What if? What if it doesn't work? No, it's probably not going to work. Because someone prayed for this a little while ago and it didn't happen. And, oh, you haven't got a very good track record. Or, what happens if it doesn't work and you're going to look silly? What happens if this, that, and the other? I've been there. The what ifs, the doubts. And that is the battle. Okay? So, do you believe that when I let go of the sheep, it can fly to the ceiling? Yeah. Okay. So, in this moment, now, obviously, I'm using a blue sheep. Okay? But you can use this same technique, okay, when you're praying for the sick. Because you're confronting the natural with the supernatural. You're confronting what you're seeing with your eyes. Let's say someone's missing a leg. Very visual, okay? Someone's missing a leg. You're confronting what you can see by the supernatural, which is saying, actually, in heaven, everyone's going to have two legs. Everyone's going to be running. Everyone's going to be dancing. Everyone's going to be jumping about, okay? So that's what you're confronting with. So you come to that moment and you say, right, in the power of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I command this sheep to fly to the ceiling. Now, I would imagine 99% of you expected it to fall to the floor. And if I'm honest, I expected it to fall to the floor. Okay? But he said this is the battle. Because sometimes we get over that first moment of like, oh, I can't pray, I can't do this, and we actually enter in. And we have that moment when we say, I believe it. Lord, would you touch this? Would you heal this person? Nothing. And he said, actually, this is the greater reality. If I was to ask, how many of you ever prayed for someone and not seen them get better? Put your hands up. Almost 100%. This is the greater reality. Yes, God never changes. He can heal. Sometimes, though, we're actually just called to pray and pray and pray and pray. We love those moments when it happens first time. I love those moments. Man, it fills me up with such faith. I pray for someone and I see them get better instead. I'm like, yes, Lord. But actually, the greater reality, what we're facing with, is we're called to pray when we don't see a result. We're called to pray. No, I believe God can heal this person. I believe he's asked me to pray for you. So even though I'm not seeing it happen first time, I'm going to commit to continue to pray until I see you get better. This is the greater reality for a lot of us. So, he picks up the bottle of water, because believe it or not, when he prayed, and the bottle of water, he didn't actually fly to the ceiling, it fell to the floor. And he picked up the bottle of water, and he said, right, so I'm going to pray again. But the only problem is, at this point, maybe the first time, quite a lot of us were quite excited, quite expecting that maybe this guy with his healing ministry that was healing all these hundreds of people, maybe he's actually going to, in God's power, make this bottle fly to the ceiling. When we saw it hit to the floor, we all went, oh. And he picks up and he goes, we've got to go again because God can. But the problem is, he lost the room at that point. We'd all gone, do you know what, mate? It's a bit weird. And you're probably sitting there thinking, do you know what, Daniel? It's a bit weird. You're still holding a blue sheep. And you're talking about healing. And you're talking about how this can fly to the ceiling. But can I just say this? This is the battleground you're going to face every time. And in a minute, I'm actually going to share with you testimonies of healings that work. Because I need to raise the faith level in this room. Okay? But more often than not, okay, you'll be battling with that. Okay? 9 times out of 10, when you go to pray for someone, there'll be that little niggle in your head. What if? Maybe this person doesn't get healed. What if this? What if? And you've got to have belief. You've got to believe, actually, no, I'm going to keep going in this until I see heaven manifest itself in this moment. Okay? That's the greater reality. And this is what I want to teach on this as the main point, because I feel that's where we all start from. We've all prayed, and most of you put your hands up, we've all prayed for someone and not seen them get better. We've all heard of stories where it doesn't happen. So you're already battling with that before you ever get to the next person to pray. Okay? This is why it's the big battlefield. Okay? You're going to have doubts. Sometimes you have to say, no, I believe God, you're the healer. I believe it can happen. And all I'm called to do is pray until it breaks, until something happens, until I see the breakthrough. Okay? What that might mean, if, for instance, you are on the streets, okay, you can't keep that person in one place forever, okay? You might pray twice for that person in that moment, and then you think, do you know what? I'm going to commit, and I'm going to continue to pray for you. You might leave them with that, okay? It might not necessarily be you have to hold on to them until you see a change, okay? But that is the greater reality of facing. Okay, you're all thoroughly disappointed that the blue sheep didn't fly to the ceiling. So I'm going to tell you some stories. Only a couple, really, just to build the faith level. Put your hands up if you ever heard of a healing, someone praying for healing and seen it happen. So the first, sorry, that was a bit confusing. Put your hands up if you've heard of a healing story. You ever heard of a healing story? Okay, all of you. Put your hands up if you've seen a healing story. Okay, still quite a good number of you. Okay. So when you come to these moments, okay, for me, this is just real basic teaching. When I come to those moments, I'm reliving those moments. I'm reliving all the times where I've seen God break in because it's building my faith. Okay? So if you didn't put your hand up, you can use these stories. I've already told you of the guy I prayed for who had really thick glasses. And you might have missed that week. So essentially, I was praying for this guy. He had very thick glasses. I told him to take his glasses off. And I prayed that God would give him his sight back to fullness. He opened his eyes and he began to cry because he could read clearly all the signs that are around the room. And we gave thanks and we prayed, you know, oh God, ain't God amazing when he breaks in like that. The guy I was just talking to you about, this really freaked me out. The guy called Mark Marks, after he did this whole water bottle thing and everyone got thoroughly disappointed in him, he said, right, I need to build the faith in the room, which is what I'm doing with you. And he said, I don't want to pray for someone that they know has got a leg shorter than the other. And there's a guy there, put his hand up. And he came to the front and he sat in a chair. And we're all a little bit like, that's a bit weird. And he then looked at the rest of us and he said, you're not going to see what I'm about to do from sat in your chairs. So get out your chairs. I'm not going to ask you to now. He said, get out your chairs and gather around me as I'm going to do this. Now, this is probably the first time I've ever experienced this kind of thing. So everyone's like, getting out of their chairs like, is he serious? Like, what? And we all kind of gather around. We haven't actually got that much closer to him. We've just got out of our chairs. He goes, no, you can't see from there. Everyone get a bit closer. So we're all gathered around, and he's knelt down, and there's a guy on a chair, and he's holding both of his legs up, and we all go around and we can see. And he began to declare the goodness of God over this guy's life, and declare healing over this guy's leg, and we all saw as this guy's leg straightened out and matched up with the other one. Now, there's a trick, believe it or not, you can do with leg growing. If someone is wearing very loose shoes, you can actually do a little trick of the eye. And the skeptic in me was like, that's all very well, Mr. Mark Marks, but the guy was wearing shoes, and I don't know the looseness of those shoes, So I'm gonna fall back on my skepticism. Almost as if he was hearing me talk internally, he said, I now want to show you with someone with bare feet. Now, if you don't know how I live in the summer, it's basically I live my life in flip-flops in the summer. And I was just sat down at my desk before getting up, and I'd taken my flip-flops off, and I was one of the only guys standing around in bare feet. And he looked at me, and he said, have you got one leg shorter than the other? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I've never really got it tested or anything. And he asked me to sit on this chair, and he held both my legs up, and lo and behold, one leg was shorter than the other. And he began to declare the goodness of God over my life, began to prophesy that the healing over my leg. And before he did that, this is the good bit, okay? Before we get to the healing, okay? He looked at me and he said, do you want to be taller or shorter? And I was like, are you serious? I was like, taller? And I felt and watched as my leg straightened out with the other leg. When you go through something like that, you are changed. When you go through something like that, you're going, okay, yeah, God heals. I think I believe it. The last story I want to tell you, it's got nothing to do with physical healing, because I think sometimes we get caught up with the physical healing side. And actually, God's interested in the wholeness of people. And I remember doing some youth ministry to some young people. And God was meeting individuals, and I came up to this one girl, and she was in a real bad way. You could tell she was in a really bad way. And I just sat down with her, and I did the classic, like, you all right? You know, not really sure what to say at the moment. You all right? And she couldn't say a word. And I said, what's wrong? And she looked at me, and there was something holding her. Like, she wanted to tell me what it was, but she couldn't. And you could tell she was struggling to... You could tell there was a block going on there. And God just gave me a word of knowledge. And he said, guilt. And I looked at her and I said, it's guilt, isn't it? And as I said that word, you saw the power released from her. What was ever holding her, she couldn't say. She just went, yes. She wasn't healed in that moment, but the power had been broken. Whatever it had over her, that bounding power had been broken over her. I then began to pray the forgiveness and the love of God over her. And she walked out a different person. Had nothing to do with her physical needs. It was all emotional and spiritual. And God is in the business of whole healing. And not just, oh, I've got a toothache. He's interested in that, but he's also interested in your emotional side, your spiritual side, and all of that. Okay? And so when I get to praying, I don't want you to count yourselves out. If you think, well, actually, I'm okay, I'm just having a bit of a tough week, or I'm struggling with this person, or actually, I've got this. Don't count yourself out. God wants to meet each and every one of you. I really felt this morning, that God wants to meet each and every one of you this morning. I've prepped some of the guys with words of knowledge. What we're going to do is they're going to come up and just share if they've got anything. Basically, just God. You know, I said I had a word of knowledge for this girl. Sometimes that is what broke the power. So these guys are going to come up and they're just going to share some words of knowledge what they felt God had been saying. And I want to say this. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, I was going to get prayer, but I didn't come up. The word of knowledge wasn't for me. You can still get prayer. Yeah, you can still get prayer. For some people, they need the word of knowledge. For some people, they can just say, do you know what? I want to just get prayer. So guys, if you've got anything, are you happy to come and share? Do you want me to come to you with the mic? Or are you going to come up? If not, I've got a few things. In preparation for this, I felt I had someone here, their right knee, very internal into the knee joint. There's an issue there. Probably the biggest thing I had was actually around breathing conditions. I really felt God wanted to free some people of people who suffer with hay fever, people who suffer with asthma, but just anything of kind of the chest or breathing conditions. I really felt for that as well. People who are here, this might not be normal for some of you. Okay, some of you are sitting here thinking, I'm really not sure what's going to happen. I've no idea what God's going to do, and I'm starting to get a little bit worried. Is that anyone? As in, this is not a word of knowledge. I'm just feeling that actually, sometimes when we come to this sort of stuff, if you're not used to it, actually this can be really quite a daunting thing, what we're doing up here. And I wanted to reiterate again, that God is a really good father. No matter how many words we say or get wrong or whatever, actually, God wants to love you more than all else. So actually, even in the healing of things, or even in just someone gathering around you and praying for something, I think just God wants to really just show his love for people. In saying that, I don't know if it's an add-on to yours about negative things. I mean, there's a few people here who have, they never think they're going to amount to anything. They've been living under this thing of like, actually, I've hit a bar, I've hit a roof, and that is going to be my life from now on. It almost falls into the worthless. I see everyone else around me, they're moving on, they're doing this with their life, and for me, it's just, I'm just down here at this point. And I had a very, very small glimpse, not in detail or anything like that, of what's the other side of that barrier you've put on your life. And I just want to say, God has got the most incredible things waiting for you the other side. You're sitting there, you're thinking, you know, I'm from this area, or I was brought up in this background, or these are my parents, and this is it. That's nothing to God. And I feel like God has got the most incredible things planned for your future. And I believe it's something that's important to get prayed off. There's that barrier that you've put in your life that you just need praying off, and to begin to believe actually in God, I can do anything. I can live the most incredible life for Him. So there's a few things. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, I've come, I've got a bad back, or I've got a bad neck, or I've got bad whatever, or do you know, I've been hurt in the past on this, and I feel like God wants to do that. Still get some prayer, you know. Don't just feel, oh, it wasn't one of these things. God doesn't want to meet with me. That isn't the case. What I also want to do is I don't want it to be an elect pray. I'm really against the idea that there's one or two people that can pray for the sick and see them healed. I believe there's a release of the Spirit that all can pray for the sick and see them healed. Now, I can't deny there's people in history and there's people you read about who seem to have a particular ministry in this, but I still believe that every single one of you can pray for the sick and see them healed. And this is the best place to begin your training. Yeah, in your home church, it's safe. And I just really feel that actually we can all do this. We can all gather around and we can all pray. So what I want to do now, in the time we've got left, is if you're sitting there and you're thinking, do you know what, it was one of those things, or I just want to get some prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand, okay, briefly. And then I'm going to ask everyone else to stand. And then, guys, if you're not getting prayer, whoever you're near, you're going to be the prayers. Does that make sense? So if someone stands up over there, and you're not actually going to get prayer, you guys are going to stand up, and you're going to be the ones praying for that person. Does that make sense? It's quite simple instructions. Yeah? Okay. I'm going to pray for us all now, and then we'll get into it. Father God, we just want to thank you that we can put our trust in you. We can put 100% of our trust in you. Lord God, thank you that you love us so much. Lord, thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, thank you that means that we can be free. Lord, thank you as sons and daughters, Lord God, we are all anointed to do your work. We're all empowered to pray for the sick and see them healed. Lord, we know it is by your power, not by ours, but Lord, you've asked us to be your hands and feet. So I just want to claim the authority and power in Jesus. Lord, on this ground that I stand on, I declare healing and breakthrough and power in Jesus' name. I declare the healing in Jesus' name. I pray for the gift of faith just begin to rise in this place. Thank you, God. Okay. Amen. Now, I know this might be a bit daunting for some of you. We're all kind of going to be looking at you. But if you're sitting there thinking, do you know what? I really want prayer. I was one of those that was said, or, you know, I just want to get some prayer for whatever it is, you know. Can you do the really bold thing for me right now and just stand where you are? all right, God's not in a rush. So if you're still sitting there, you're thinking, do you know what? Yeah, it's me, I need to stand. You can just stand at any moment. It's a bold step. Okay. Guys who are sat around, can you stand up? So everyone else stand up. I want to make sure, look around, make sure everyone is being prayed for. Don't do any praying yet. I'm going to explain really simply what to say. There's no magic words, I'm not saying that, but some of you are a little bit, I have no idea what to do at this moment. That's okay, I'm going to walk you through it. Go and find someone who's stood up, and I want you to just go over to them, if you feel comfortable to, and just if they are comfortable to, just put a hand on one of their shoulders. So people who are around, find someone who's stood up, and just go get near them at this stage. You might need to split yourselves up. That's fine. If you stood up to receive prayer and no one has come and stood next to you, can you put your hand up? Look at those hands. Can we get any more people just to come on these guys? I'm going to free myself up in a minute as well. I talked about spiritual confidence. Sometimes we get to these situations and we're like, I've got nothing to say. Oh, Lord, would you just... He's like, no, hang on. I've sent you to be my hands and feet. So when you pray, I want you to take authority. Because you've been given the authority by the King. I want you to take authority over whatever it is. You're going to have to talk to them and find out what it is they want prayer for, if they're happy to disclose. But then I want you to take authority. So if someone's saying, Jeanette, it was me. I've got that pain in my knee. Okay. This is how we need to pray. Knee, be well. It really is that simple. You take authority over that. In Jesus' name, be well. There's no magic words. You know, you don't have to say in Jesus' name before it works. God can move however he wants to move. But you come, you've stepped into that moment, into that place, and you're going to take authority as envoys of heaven, as sons and daughters of the King. So you speak to the issue, and you tell it to get lost, basically, in Jesus' name. And what you're doing is you're looking forward to a greater reality, the greater natural, which is heaven. And you're trying to move that into this reality. Okay? Because in heaven, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no mental health issues, there is nothing of that sort at all. Okay? It's 100% perfect. And you're bringing that culture into this culture. So take authority over it. Be simple. Don't have to be really flowery with your words and, you know, 30-minute prayers. Be really simple. Just tell it to go in Jesus' name. And then find out where God has showed up. Okay? So, and then they're going to play some music from the back. Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you just to come in this moment. Lord, for there to be an increase in the power, in the presence, in this stage. Holy Spirit, I just want you to begin to go and just touch these people, just to kind of rest on these people. For the people praying, I pray your tongue is anointed, the black aim of the good news, and freedom and liberty. Amen. Okay, you have to talk to them, find out what it is, but I want you to start praying that God is going to show up and move. I want to keep going if you're praying for people. I want to... The important thing as well, if you've just received prayer, to test it. So if you're sitting there and someone has prayed for you and you can test it. So I know sometimes you can't. You might have to maybe go to a doctor's or whatever. But if it's a bad back or anything like that, just begin to bend or try it out or anything like that. Is anyone here who originally stood up to get prayer and haven't been prayed for? I don't want to miss anyone. Okay, I think everyone. Just put your hand up if in that first moment there was a healing of some sort, partial, or something got easier. there was a movement shift or something happens. Can you just put your hand up for me? Okay. Three people. Yeah? How good. Come on. Sometimes we don't celebrate these things enough. Okay? And I know one story. Do you mind if I share? Harold, when I went over to pray for him, was it one of the words, but bad back. And actually every time he got up, it used to pinch and it was down his leg. Just praise. Took authority. And actually, there was a loosening. It got a bit easier. And I said, can you test it out? Test it out. And he goes, yeah, it's a bit easier. I was like, it might. Well, I'm still there. So he prayed again. And then he began to sat down and test out. Sometimes unless it's 100%, we're not satisfied. Let's praise God that he met with us. And then there was a shift that, I had a really bad back. And now actually, it's better. Do you know what? It's better. I can move. I can do this. Yeah? So the other two people that put their hands up, can you just share briefly, if you're happy to share? Okay. When three people get healed or touched by God, and every single one's to do with backs and back problems, that tells me there's God wants to do something around that particular issue. Sometimes there's a season for different things, because actually there's an ease for certain things. And I'm going to take this opportunity that I can. If any of you here are suffering from any back pain, can you stand? Okay, did you know you can pray for yourself? Yeah? So, put your own hands on wherever it is. So if it's a back pain, joint, anything like that, put your own hand, if you can reach it, if it's not too... Put your hand there. I'm going to pray again. We've had three people where they said, actually, there was prayer, God met, and it got better. Okay? God is in the house. Holy Spirit is here, and he's touched people. We're going to pray again. Okay? So just while you're holding that moment, holding that place, I speak to each and every one of you. I speak to each and every back, joint pain, ligament pain, nerve, muscular pain. In Jesus' name, I tell it to be gone. I declare healing over that point. I declare healing over that point. We speak to the enemy, we're saying, in Jesus' name, get out. You're not welcome. You have lost all authority. Get out. Be well in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now again, this is the moment where you test it. If you can. Sometimes you can't, but test it. You can do a wiggle if you like. Do a little wiggle. Okay. And I would always say this, I'm committed to praying for you. Okay? I'm not going to put a time scale on it. I'm not going to put, because then we can get caught up in how long do I have to pray. But all I'm going to say is I'm committed to praying for you. I believe God is healer. I believe he will heal. And I'm committed to praying for you until I see it happen, until I see it well. Okay? How do we find that? I know it's a bit different this morning, a bit out of the norm. I want to say this. If you were prayed for and it was the sheep falling to the floor moment for you. You were expecting it to soar to the ceiling, and actually someone prayed for you, had all this expectation, and it went to the floor. Can I just say this? It does not mean God doesn't love you. It does not mean God is not healer. Okay? I have so many questions to God. Why, God, did you heal this person and not heal this person? Okay? It's probably my most frequent question, one of them I ask a lot. Why break into this situation here and not this one here? And I don't know. And I'm not meant to know, I don't think. I don't think I'm meant to have all the answers. We are called just to pray and be faithful. And I've spoken to some people who haven't been healed. And it's just kind of like Apollo. I said, if Jesus was here, you would be healed. And that's like, they said, you know what? I'm just so thankful someone prayed for me. Do you know, they feel so loved in that moment that someone actually spent some time and prayed for me. You know? So I just want to, I don't want anyone to leave a bit like, oh, God didn't show up again, you know? Sometimes we've got to pray for stuff and pray for stuff and pray for until we see it, until we see it broken. So I'm going to pray for us. I have no idea what's happening next. Are the kids back in? The kids are back in. So I'm guessing I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to finish. Brilliant. Thank you, God, for the healings that we have seen today. Thank you, God, that you are alive and kicking. You're alive and well. Lord, you are interested in our lives. Lord, you are interested in our lives. Thank you for showing up. Lord, I pray this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. It's the beginning of a culture that's beginning to be created. Lord, we ask for signs and wonders. We ask for many miracles because we believe it actually, you are interested in people's lives and you want to see them well. Lord, and you love them and you don't want to leave them where they're at. So Lord, we ask for the multitudes. Lord, I pray and we look back on this time and we're thinking that it was started here. Something happened and it was started. We just give you all the glory, Lord. We take none of it for ourselves. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We love you. Lord, as we go into this week, maybe just be a little bit sharper to the people around us. Maybe have a little bit more boldness, a little bit more courage. Lord, I pray for some of us here. Maybe, Lord, guys, would you just step out this week in boldness and say, I'll be praying for that. Or do you mind if I pray for that? Be bold in that. That God can and will show up. We love you, Lord. Amen.